that you him for this week for us, Lord God. And I ask that you would feed us through what he says by your Spirit, Lord God, that you would empower him to preach your word boldly today. Just bless him as he brings the word. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning again. Ushers, if you could just get Hamilton in here, we'd be ready to go. Hamilton, you got to be in here. I can't start. Oh, Carolyn's out there too. David's out there. Come on in, guys. You need to hear this morning. Now, that's a way to welcome your visitors, isn't it? Well, David's here for the first time. But we see him every day at school, so we pick on him. All right. Well, we are on a series of what it means to hear God's voice. And how do we hear God's voice? We've started with God's promises that my sheep do hear my voice. And that's a promise that Jesus gave us, that my sheep know me, they recognize me, they don't listen to the stranger's voice, but they hear my voice. And it's God's promise that his children hear his voice. Last week we spoke about evidence in hearing God's voice. When God has spoken to you, you can know for sure. It's not just subjective. It's not just maybe. There are ways to test and ask, has God really spoken to me? Does this line up with his word? Is this confirmed in any other way? And next week, we're going to give examples of God's voice. Next week is Thanksgiving Sunday, and we will be thanking God for speaking to us. And it will be an opportunity for all of us to hear how God speaks to other people. You just notice an insert in your bulletin. You can look at that sometime this week. Fill this out. And if you have it written down next week, you can take the microphone and share. If it's off the cuff, rambling for a half an hour, you're not allowed to share. All right, so on here is three simple little questions about when you've heard God speaking and an example of what a two-sentence answer might look like. And that's a very big hint so that many of us are able to share next week. Got it? Okay, spouses, are you married to somebody that talks too much? You talk to them about it this week, okay? Get them to write it down, all right? Next week, put a choker chain on them and pull them. All right? Sorry, I've said too much. Nobody's going to want to share next week. Better have somebody else lead the meeting next week. All right, so hearing God. How do we hear God's voice? If he promises that his children will hear his voice, I want to know his voice. And this morning we were praying next door and Tony felt that God just showed him a picture of this wonderful glass refrigerated dessert case. You know, like when you walk into the coffee shop and everything behind the glass is just calling your name. I know they're all $5 items, but every single one of them, you just want to take it off and, you know, sit down with your coffee and then sit down with another coffee and try the next one and then try the next one. That's how it is with God. When you actually begin to understand that the Almighty, All-Powerful, wants to talk to you. And you think, wait a minute, how do I get that? How do I taste that? That's what's going to happen next Sunday when you hear someone share how God spoke to them personally. Or you hear how a group of people changed direction because God spoke to their family or their friends. And you're going to think, I want that. How do I get it? The Almighty God is all powerful. That means he can change anything. That guy wants to talk to you. The all-knowing one. You university students interested in knowing things? You get tested on knowing things? You pass or fail on knowing things? The one who knows everything. All of your studies, master's degree, doctorate degrees, everything is just a tiny, tiny, tiny little glimpse of the things that the Almighty One knows. And he wants to talk to you. He's available to you. Not only does he know all, but he is all wise. He has wisdom. He sees the whole perspective. Sometimes we just see what's next. But he sees everything that's coming in our future. And he's chosen to speak to us. The one who describes himself as the God of love. The one who all of his ways are good. He always has my best in mind. Whatever his will is for me, it's the best thing for me. This one wants to talk to me, wants to talk to you. The promise isn't for some people. It isn't just for special Christians. The promise is for all of God's children that they hear his voice. I want to taste more of that. It's as though each of us is at the very beginning of this journey of eternity. You're at the very beginning of this journey into eternity. Joshua started 12 years ago. He's just at the beginning. And Ree, at the age of 55, is just at the beginning. You like that? You like that? All right. All Christians are not ashamed of the gospel, and some are not ashamed of their age. I could go on that rabbit trail for a long time. Oh, yes. Someone just told me this morning, Jonas said I was more gray than the last time he saw me. Where's Jonas? And I said, thank you. It's a sign of wisdom, according to my Bible. Very good. Here we are at the beginning of this journey into eternity, and the eternal God, the Master, the Planner, the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who generates life, the Redeemer who has paid dearly, costly with his blood in order to communicate to you, says, I want to talk to you. How do I get there? How do I hear his voice? What do I have to do to listen and hear? And there is a beginning, and today is the most important of our series. We can talk about many things about God's voice out there somewhere. We can examine it out there. We can look at it. We can hear about it from other people. But how do I get started? Where's the door that I go through? What's the gate that allows me into his presence? How is it that I begin this relationship with him as father and me as child? That's what we want to talk about today. How do I hear his voice? The title of today's message, Hearing God is by the Spirit. How do we hear his voice? By the Spirit. Hearing God is by the Spirit. Oops, we just lost half of you. I know. Because as soon as you say something like that, half the congregation goes, that ain't me. Because I'm not spiritual. That's a lie from Satan. That is a lie that we have to combat. Some spirit people are spiritual. I'm not. I'm just not spiritual like that person is. That's a lie of the enemy. You are a spirit made in God's image. God is spirit. He made you like him. Temporarily, you're living in this decaying body that's wearing out. But you've begun your eternal journey. The first leg of that journey happens to be in this decaying body because we live in a broken, sinful world. And when we speak of how do we hear God's voice, praise God, it's not by your eardrums. Don't get out your decibel meter and wait around and meditating until the needle goes and think, ooh, God's talking, where is he? No, that was just the truck that went by. Because if it was that way, those of us who are hard of hearing would have trouble hearing God. People who are physically deaf would not be able to know God. But the promise is for all. And the promise is for all his children. And you hear God And the key to understanding is, it's not just some decibel meter. It's not just, I heard an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice, but God has spoken to me many, many times in my life. I don't know very many people, some, but I don't know very many people who have heard an audible voice of God. That is extremely rare. Almost no Christian ever hears an audible voice of God. That is a supernatural miracle that God does sometimes, but He gives His voice to all of us by His Spirit. We hear Him by His Spirit. And if we don't have His Spirit, we're not going to hear Him. We hear Him by His Spirit. I'm going to give you some scriptures for this in just a little bit. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman by the well. It's not our main text. Don't turn there. We're going to Corinthians in a little bit. And He says to the woman at the well, God is Spirit, and worshipers must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is Spirit. We are made in His image. We are made in an image that is eternal. We are not wearing out. Our body is, but we go on. We have such an incredible privilege that God would want to speak to us. John 10, my sheep hear my voice. Revelation 3, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If you hear him and if you open to him, he'll come and be with you. That's a promise. People in your living room, you usually can talk to. People at your dining room table, it's pretty easy to have a conversation. That's the promise. If you hear and you receive him, he'll be with you. Don't worry. You don't have to strive. You don't have to try. He's the one knocking. He wants to come over. Romans 11. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who can be his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We can't know God on our own. We have no right to look into his life. He's the one knocking on our life. He's the one coming our direction. He's the one who wants to reveal himself to you. Psalms 25, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way. Who? Us sinners. Not righteous people, us sinners. He makes us righteous by Jesus. But good and upright is God. He loves us. And he instructs, he trains sinners to walk in his way. What a privilege, what a gracious God. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. You'll find it after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right after Romans. If you get to Hebrews, you went too far. 1 Corinthians, in the back half of your Bible. The back sixth of your Bible. If the person beside you doesn't have a Bible, hand them yours and assume that you've memorized it. Slide over and show your Bible to somebody beside you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is in Ephesus. He's writing back to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth is in the middle of one wicked, crazy city, full of immorality. And Paul is writing about their messed up understanding of how church is, a misunderstanding of how God's leaders operate. They're in the middle of a divisive thing within the church where some say, well, I follow Paul. And other people say, no, we follow Apollos. And he's a better teacher. And Paul's a better teacher. And no, Apollos is a better teacher. And Paul's like, hey, look, guys, cut it out. That's not what it's about. And so in these first two chapters, he writes to tell them what it's about. But the part that we're interested in today is Paul describing how it is that we understand the things of God by the Spirit. And Paul is telling them how it is that Christians with a spirit, with his spirit, God's spirit, can understand. Before Christ, just in your natural self, you can't understand. And then in chapter 3, he goes on to say that the Corinthian church, even though they've believed, are living according to their natural self. They're still listening to their carnal mind instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. And so he's pleading with them to get in tune with the Holy Spirit, to get in tune with God's voice, and to understand things spiritually. And he's showing us that we can't understand just naturally. We have to understand spiritually. So we live in a natural world that's broken and falling apart and has one way of doing business. But we've been redeemed and brought into a spiritual world that has a spiritual way of doing business. And Paul's saying, God has given you an incredible gift of the Spirit so that you can participate. How do you hear God's voice? Spiritually, by the Spirit. Don't tune out. You are a spirit. God made you to relate spiritually. Your body's going away. You'll get a better one in heaven. You won't have any more knee problems. You won't have any more eyesight problems. Your ears will work. But right now, you are a spirit, and He's beginning to relate to you and start you on this grand journey. Let's read this passage. We're going to start in verse 6 and just read through the end of the chapter. Paul is explaining to the church how it is that some understand and some don't according to the Spirit. Verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Apart from God, without His Spirit, the riches of God are hidden. They're foolishness if you don't have God's Spirit. And so Jesus encountered this with the Pharisees of His day again and again. We read this interesting passage in John chapter 8, where He is talking to them about who their father is. And they're protesting, saying, we're children of Abraham. We're children of God. And Jesus says this to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Now listen to this. John chapter 8, verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? God is saying to the people, to the Pharisees, why don't you understand me? Do you speak Swahili? What's going on here? Are you German? You speak English? Is that your problem? God is saying, why don't you understand me? And then he answers the question, because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. And then he continues to describe what the devil's like. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, you don't get my language because you can't hear me, because you don't belong to me yet. There's two choices. Ephesians says, once before we were in death, in darkness, following the ways of the kingdom of the air, Satan. But Jesus, God's loving Son, has brought us, has transferred us into his kingdom. All of the world is under the wrath of God. All of the world is lost without God, following the ways of the devil, the kingdom of the air, following their own sinful nature. They cannot hear the words of Jesus because they're not his children. They're somebody else's child. And they recognize that parent's voice. But the voice of Jesus is like light and dark. It's opposites. It just is foolishness. It just doesn't make sense in their context. I'm full of bitterness and resentment. You want me to love them? That's foolishness. I put number one, me first. You want me to die to self and live for you? That's foolishness. It doesn't make sense in our world, but it sure makes sense in his world. And when you become his child, suddenly you realize that everything he says makes sense. Everything he said is right and good and blessing. Everything is best for me. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It is good news. What? Revenge is good news for me. Give them what they deserve. No, not in the kingdom, it's not. And when you become his child, it really does make sense. Paul speaks of his own journey in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You might look at this later. He's speaking about why is it that when he talks to his fellow Jews, they just don't get it. And he describes it as though someone has a veil over their face. And he said, when we talk to them, there's a veil covering them. They can't understand. He puts it in these words. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He goes on in the next chapter, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We need to stop expecting non-Christians to hear God's voice. We need to stop expecting that the world ought to act like Christians. That they ought to act like followers of Jesus. It's foolishness to them. That's not fair of us. It won't make sense to them. The God of this world has blinded their mind. They see through a different lens. They see through tunnel vision. They see only what's in front of them. They cannot have an eternal perspective that makes sense of the world. They're left with self-centered, tomorrow is the only thing I care about mentality. Because they can't see eternally. They don't have a sense of God's presence in their life. They don't feel him drawing them beyond the present circumstance into grand, glorious future. We feel that. All through the ages, we feel that. Christians have felt that. In the midst of persecution, they've still been drawn into glory. In the midst of being killed for their faith, they've rejoiced because they knew where they were being drawn into. In the midst of financial doom and economies falling apart, Christians are still people of hope. Because life is not wrapped up in this decaying 60, 70 years. Life is wrapped up in Jesus. Eternity. I've begun a journey that's getting better. From glory to glory, He's changing me. He's drawing closer to me. He's making Himself more known to me. What a privilege we have as followers of Jesus. What a privilege it is that we get sweeter and sweeter the longer we walk with Him. It's true. We get sweeter and sweeter the longer we walk with Him. The veil is taken away, and we know when you walk with Jesus, His Spirit's there. And where His Spirit is, there's freedom. If you don't sense freedom in Jesus, you don't have His Spirit. You got something else called religion. If you feel bondage and heavy burdens and do this, do that, you've got religion, not Jesus. Because where the Spirit of God comes, there's freedom. And so Paul says, oh yeah, all kinds of people would judge me, but I don't care about it. Why? He answers to one. He answers to the Master. Now let's go back to our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, Paul gives us five essentials that you need if you're going to hear God's voice. And all of them come from the Spirit. The key is the Spirit. Hearing God is by the Spirit. Hearing God is by His Spirit. And the Spirit gives us five essentials. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The first essential is revelation. It's only by the Spirit that revelation comes. You can objectively study things. You can talk about them. You can discuss them. But only when the Spirit comes does the light go on and something's revealed. And the Spirit, He means the Holy Spirit. The capital S in your Bible is signifying God's Spirit as opposed to just some demonic spirit floating around. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. God's Spirit searches everything. The deepest hidden revelations, oh, the wonders and the glories that you and I can never understand. But from time to time, He opens a little window for us and lets us see a glimpse. And from time to time, we rejoice going, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. I had it happen two nights ago. I was listening to the Bible in the evening. I always put on my headphones when I go to bed and listen to five chapters of the next part of the book. And I was listening to the book of Matthew and looking at the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. And suddenly, a light bulb dropped. I've read that scripture for 22 years. But that night, I saw something I hadn't seen about John the Baptist and Jesus. That was exciting. That's another sermon, though. We'll do that another time. The deep things of God that I can read over and read over and read over, and one day, revelation. We need revelation. If we want to hear God, we need the Spirit to give us revelation. The second thing that the Spirit provides, illumination, understanding. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He's just using a very natural example here. And he's saying, look, even your spouse doesn't really know what you're thinking half the time. The only person that really knows is you. Your best friend doesn't really know how you feel about that topic. Only you really know. Only you really know in the stillness and quietness of your soul what you really feel. And sometimes we don't even know. But our spirit knows. Sometimes our brain can't even put it into language. But there's a knowing inside that says, yeah, I don't know. I just feel this way about it. And I don't know why. But your spirit is sensing something. And in the same way that no one else around you can sense what you sense, nor can anyone know God except himself. The Spirit of God knows God. The Spirit of God discerns the thoughts of God. The Spirit of God illuminates the thoughts of God. You can't know that about the person beside you. You can't know that about God. But the Spirit knows. And so the Spirit gives us revelation. And the Spirit gives us illumination. He reveals it. And He illuminates God's thoughts, God's understanding. The third thing the Holy Spirit gives us is Himself. Read the next verse, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit Himself. The Spirit gives us revelation. The Spirit illuminates the thoughts of God. And we have received Him. He actually gives us Himself. He comes and joins us. That's precious. I'm a good friend of Charlie's. But he doesn't actually reside in me. When I go home from the office, I don't have a clue what he's thinking. I sort of get it when I'm in the office near him. But when I go home, or if he goes and climbs the chief today, I could imagine what he's thinking climbing the chief. You know, he's thinking about his poor legs and wishing that he was more in shape and all those kind of things. But I don't know. Because he hasn't come and given himself to me. But the Holy Spirit, who knows God, has been received by his children. He comes and he lives with us. Number four. The Holy Spirit, first of all, gives us revelation, illumination, himself, and expression. He puts words in our mouth. Look at this passage, verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The Holy Spirit gives us a language to communicate. He teaches us spiritual words. He expresses spiritual thoughts. He gives us a way to tell other people about it. And so Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I'm writing to you about spiritual things. These aren't just my words. This is spiritual stuff. God has helped me put this into words. This is what happens when God anoints us and we're speaking to our neighbor and suddenly we know how to explain about God. This is what happens when you're preaching sometimes and all of a sudden you go off your notes and God adds all this stuff. I've sometimes gone back and listened to the tape to add it to my notes. Because as I'm preaching, I'm like, whoa, that's cool, God. I never thought of it like that before. God does that. His Spirit gives us words to express. Not words by human wisdom. And Paul is dealing with a comparison going on. He's in this big city of Corinth is being compared to the other public speakers. The guys that go around like the Dalai Lama making their big speeches. The guys that go around like Barack Obama and everyone goes, ooh, listen to him. Oh, man, he got just the right line. You know, the famous guys were being compared to Paul. Apollos was being compared to Paul. And Paul's like, you know what? It's not about that kind of wisdom. It's not about the right soundbite. It's about what the Spirit is saying. Then he goes on. Number five, the most important essential that the Spirit gives us is residence. Not only does he give us himself, but he resides with us. He dwells with us. Look at this from verse 14 onward. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 8 puts it this way. Paul says, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Verse 27, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Hearing God is by Spirit. We cannot receive, we cannot hear unless he resides with us. What a privilege it is that he lives in us. Without the Spirit, it's all foolishness. But with the Spirit, who has known the mind of God? But yet we've been given the mind of Christ. Now that's a promise you might want to hang on to. You ever think you're going crazy? You know, when I first met Jesus, I had 2 years of walking out of a whole bunch of mental junk. And there were times that I thought I was going crazy. You see, before I met Jesus, I would get in my car when I was angry, and I would find an angry radio station and turn it on and identify with myself. You understand that? You turn on some angry music, and the pop music of the day is singing about your issues, and it's singing about your injustices, and you can identify with that. But after I met Jesus, what was once so foolish became my spiritual warfare. I would turn on Jesus music. Not because I wanted to. My anger wanted the former. But the spiritual witness of the Holy Spirit in me said, that's not going to help you. I've got life for you. Fight the darkness. And I would turn on God's music and say, get lost, devil. And I would drive and drive and drive with my music blaring, screaming at the top of my lungs, get out of here, anger. Get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, sadness. Get out of here, depression. In the name of Jesus, I won't serve you anymore. And I had to hang on to the fact that I have the mind of Christ. This verse became a dear promise to me. I will get through this. I've been given the mind of Christ. I'm going to beat this old way of thinking. I'm going to lose my filthy mouth. I'm going to lose my cursing. I'm going to lose my sadness. I'm going to lose my depression. Because Jesus has a new life for me. I've found a new way of living. It's hope, peace, joy, love in the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, I will not fall. He will pick me up. These are the promises of God. These are the ways that we fight the enemy. It comes by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who reveals to us this kind of a scripture and says, apply it to your situation. This is my promise for you. The Spirit is the one who comes to us and he illuminates, he gives us understanding. Before, when I read the Bible, I didn't care about the Bible. It's foolishness. It's a waste of time. It's boring. It's a bunch of history. But after Jesus, it was illuminated. And suddenly the things that I read applied to my life today. Gave me answer. Oh, he says it's a living word. Still living after 2,000 years. Yes, still living. Still pulsating life into everything the word touches. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us ways of talking and expressing. And he resides with us. How do you get that? How do you get that in your life? You want it? Is it like a dessert tray that you're waiting to just taste? Sit down with a coffee and have more of? You get it by becoming His child. Without God, all the riches of God are hidden from you. All of these wonderful ways are at a distance. They're just somebody else's story. But the promise is for every person who follows God. My sheep hear my voice. Without God, we cannot hear. We're like the Pharisees, unable. We're like the Jews who have a veil. We're like the unbelievers who the God of this age is blinded with the current culture thinking. But hearing God is by Spirit. Jesus put it this way to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him at night, and Jesus said, he told him the beginning of the road, the door he should enter, the gate that opens to everything else. I tell you the truth, said Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. That means moms have physical babies. But the Spirit gives birth to spirit. That means God's seed births spiritual life in you. You should not be surprised at my saying, Jesus said, you must be born again. Not talking about becoming a physical baby again, but spiritually you're dead. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Do you know, some people are always seeking and never finding. Many people, even inside of churches, are seeking God's voice, but never understanding, never hearing, because they started on the wrong road in their journey. You see, when you first turn an interest towards God, it's almost as though there's an instant fork in the road. There's two paths you can choose. One way is come to the cross of Jesus and die with Him. Surrender. I believe this is why Jennifer Banbury had the words she did earlier. She felt, I need to be humble. I need to get low before God. I believe it's because the Spirit of God is saying something to our church this morning. That we need to surrender. That there are people here who want to hear God's voice. You're going to get God's voice by His Spirit. But to receive His Spirit, to have Him reside in you, to have Him dwell with you, it comes by, come to the cross, die, surrender, and follow Jesus. That's where it starts. But there's another road. Some people hear that voice and fall and respond. But there's another road, the road called religion. In the road called religion, you will continue to decide your choices. You decide how you're going to please God. And you decide what you're going to do to follow God. You decide how you're going to show your devotion. And you spend the rest of your life trying really hard to do good. Those are the nice people in our world. They're really nice. Because they're trying really hard to please God. They're trying so hard to get understanding. Sometimes they even go to lots of Bible studies, searching God's Word for understanding. Trying to achieve or be like that other person who has the peace of God. But yet never finding. And every time they come back to this crossroad called surrender, die. Yeah, that's just for those spiritual guys. That's for those really holy rollers. No, I'll decide. I'm a good guy. That's called religion. You make serving God fit with your number one goal, which is self. When serving God has to fit into your real goals in life, your real plans, your own destiny, your own decision. It's called religion. And this morning, God is asking that you surrender. For some of you, you're seeing these wonderful, delectable goods behind the glass case. And you're saying, I want to hear God for the first time. For some, you've been making God fit into your world. And he's saying, no, that's religion. Come to the cross. There's no physical cross here. That's a way of saying, accept the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross so that you can die in him and live his life. So Jesus continued the story for Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And he continued to talk to him about what it means to be born again by saying, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. When he says believe, our English language cannot bring in everything that he's talking about. The very word believe doesn't just mean agree with a doctrinal statement. It doesn't just mean I agree with a bit of history that we agree the history books are right. It means you entrust yourself to Jesus. Whoever will believe in me, whoever will entrust themselves to him. That's the surrender side of it. Whoever will say, you're Lord, I'm going to entrust myself and follow you. That's the surrender part. I've asked the worship team if they could lead us in a song called I Surrender All. And while they lead us, I want you to take a time to ask God, am I involved in surrender or in religion? And then I'm going to give an opportunity for you to come to the front and publicly say, God, I fall before you. I surrender. Let's just stand together and let's sing this song. an incredible promise from Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's a promise from God. If you choose to follow Jesus, if you choose to surrender, he does love you. And he will come and make his home with you. Now, if this morning God has spoken to you and you want to surrender your life to him, whatever that means, maybe you've walked in certain ways, but you haven't been walking in surrender, or maybe it's your first time. But you come now, and the prayer team is going to pray with you, and it's a chance for you to publicly say, this is me, I'm surrendering, I'm part of this family. You come now. Come to the front. If you're able to pray this prayer with me, let's just give this to the Lord. Just in your own heart, just follow along. Father in heaven, thank you for the promise of coming to us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for Jesus paying for my sin. Thank you for an eternal journey that you walk with us on. Father, I'm here today because I want to acknowledge that you are Lord and not I. I want to acknowledge, Lord, that I want you to lead me, not myself or my own ambition. Lord, I want to follow you. Father, I want you to remind me right now of anything that's been a priority in my life. Anything that I have walked around or kept at the forefront. Anything that I've asked you to fit around or fit into, because actually this is my priority. Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to show us those kind of things. Father, show us the kind of things that we have made top priorities. So, Father, these things I want to surrender. Father, these things I want to give to your decisions. Take what is not the best for your kingdom. Take what is not your plan for my life. and leave what is your plan and add to what else is your plan. Father, I don't know which of these are your idea and which of these are my idea. I'm just saying I want to follow your way. I want to surrender my heart, Lord, and follow everything that you have for me. Lord, would you come and dwell with me and make your home with me? Let me know your voice. Let me walk with you, Lord. Let me read your scripture and have it be opened up to my understanding. Let my daily walk change because of your presence in my life. Come, Lord Jesus, draw near to me. Thank you for saving, and thank you for changing, and thank you for leading us. Lead me on, Father, and protect me from Satan. Protect me from my own thinking. In Jesus' name, amen.